Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast. On this episode, we have a co-host that you are probably starting to get a little familiar with at this point. It's Evelyn. You can find her on Instagram and TikTok at the.mira.grid or at her website, themiragrid.com. I don't know why I always struggle with the transitions without the dots in it, but she's an intuitive educator, psychic medium, and I know some of our fans have already reached out to her for her help on some things. I think that's super awesome. Evelyn, thank you for hosting the podcast with me tonight.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here with you guys again. I always love hearing new approaches to our ghost stories.
Yeah, for sure. And Kat and JJ tonight have improv rehearsal. They are on a Star Trek improv team. And as things start kicking back up, rehearsals and things are getting going again. So they are doing that tonight. We have an awesome guest as well. Dylan is, I believe, originally from Canada, but currently resides in New Zealand and has some spooky things that have happened to her in Canada and in New Zealand. So we're going to see what that's all about. Dylan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, awesome. And how did you find out about Real Hauntings?
So what actually happened was a couple weeks ago, I had posted my story on the paranormal subreddit on Reddit just to kind of get other people's opinions and feedback. And I was actually lucky enough to get a couple of private messages, and someone actually suggested sending it to you guys, which is great.
Shut up, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. So we used to pull a lot of guests from that subreddit before we kind of branched out into the world of TikTok, but that is super cool. Wow. Makes me feel loved and special. I don't know if it should, but that's how I feel. Well, again, thank you for coming on. One thing we do like to find out from our guests is kind of where they fall on what we call the believometer, meaning 0, you don't believe in ghosts, 10, ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I think I've always kind of been maybe a 6 or 7, as in like I really do want to believe, but I'm also quite a realistic person, and it's hard for me without obviously having experience, but now that's kind of changed a bit. So definitely more towards an 8 or 9 now.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And have you ever reached out to someone like Evelyn, who is a psychic medium, to see if they can help you with some of these hauntings?
So a lot of people actually asked me that as well. And I did think about doing that when the certain events started taking place. But obviously where I am, there's not a lot of choice because I'm in the South Island of New Zealand, and it's not the same as, you know, being in a large city. So I kind of was put off by that in a way. I just thought it would be a bit hard to get someone to even come to the house if that was a thing, or yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I have never been to New Zealand, but I will have to take your word on that. And what brought you to New Zealand, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So I met my partner. He's from New Zealand, but I met him in Canada. And after him being there for a year, I decided I'd come here just to try it out. And I've been here for about 6 or 7 years now. So
Awesome. Very cool. Well, why don't you tell us about what your earliest experience with the supernatural was?
Yep. So the story kind of starts when I was about 7 years old. And like you had mentioned, I grew up in Canada. So it was one day, me and my best friend were home alone, just playing around at my house. No one else was there. And it was just a summer day because I remember it pretty clearly. And we were downstairs, and out of the blue, we just heard this voice calling, calling my name specifically from upstairs. And right away, it was my sister's voice. And we both knew it was my sister. So obviously, we went up there without hesitation. And when we went up the stairs, we realized it was actually coming from the bathroom. And I remember that bathroom when I was young was kind of a creepy one for me. Like, it just didn't have any windows, so it was always pitch black. And I wouldn't really, you know, just go into it like so easily. And yeah, the voice was clearly coming from the bathroom. You could hear like the echoes. And when we got up there, obviously we turned on the light and no one was in there and my sister wasn't home. And so right away, like, you know, your brain kind of thinks, oh, like they're here hiding. Cause we believed it would be my sister and her friend. And I remember we looked around the house and they weren't there. But then they did come home, which was hours later. And obviously when we asked them about it, they had never been there.
Oh my gosh. Evelyn, yeah. What in your experience, in hearing people talk about supernatural events, or what does it mean to you when you hear about somebody having an auditory experience and multiple people hear it?
Yeah, well, that's what's always kind of, those are my favorite kind of stories, because a lot of times people can share a story where they're like, oh, this totally happened to me. And everyone's like, okay, well, you're like one person and there's no like cross reference. But I love those kinds of stories because it does kind of help open people up a little bit more to like, okay, well, what about when there's multiple witnesses to something? So that's cool. And I think that sometimes spirits, when they're trying to communicate, know that, especially because like the vast majority of energies that you're working with have been earthside at some point, they know how humans are. And so I think that they sort of know that there's like a easier way to get noticed is by impacting more people than just one, or like when you're alone or something. The interesting thing with something like this, and what I'm sort of trying to just suss out, is like, do you feel like, especially the fact that it could impersonate your sister very specifically, and it obviously like wanted you to go upstairs, what like feelings were you having around that? Like, was this a time where you were like, oh, this was scary? Or is it like something just wanted my attention? Or is it like, do you speculate that this was someone you know? Or kind of where are you at with that?
It's hard because I don't think it was anyone that I know or anyone that I know that's passed on. But I remember when it happened and I heard the voice, like I didn't think anything because I was certain it was her. But then obviously when I found out it wasn't her, it was just that uneasy feeling. And the funny thing is, I don't feel like I have a lot of memories from when I was young that I remember like so in detail, but I remember that so in detail. And it's probably my most detailed memory from childhood because it kind of stayed with me because it was just a strange thing. And I've spoken about it with my friends since. So yeah, it's really stayed with me, but I didn't feel like it was something malicious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Almost just playful, I suppose.
That's what I'm wondering. And cause like the vibe that I'm getting from it, especially with the impersonation, is, and the fact that you're not like, oh, I think this is probably someone that in my life that's passed or something, makes me think kind of like, and I don't usually use this term, but like poltergeist, like energy, like, so I would refer to that more as like a trickster energetic, where it is kind of a game. And like, it's like the intention, it can be hard to read because the intention is there is no intention. The intention is like, yeah, I'm poking at you. And it's not like some big deeper meaning when it's those kinds of interactions. So sometimes they can be a little bit harder to get a feel for, but I'm interested to hear like how the story progresses so that we can get a bigger picture.
I feel so proud, and I don't know if it's from doing these with Evelyn or to so many episodes, but trickster spirit was where my mind went. And to hear you say that, I feel so like validated.
Ooh, your intuitive abilities are developing.
So Dylan, does your friend still recall this incident as clear as you do?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. And the funny thing is that she's actually living in New Zealand as well now, not too far from me. So yeah, we have spoken about it before. She was a lot younger than me though. So she remembers, but not to the clearness that I do.
And how did your sister feel knowing that there was, or did she even believe, but knowing that there was some kind of spirit or energy mimicking her in the home?
I don't think she had a second thought about it. Really? I feel like a lot of people in my life kind of, they're not non-believers, but it was, yeah, I don't think it would have been a thing to her at all. Yeah.
Kind of out of sight, out of mind, since she didn't experience it.
100%. Yeah.
So your sister, she didn't have anything to do with the occult. She wasn't sneaking away doing Ouija boards or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. No.
Did you and your friend ever do anything like that?
I've done it as a child, but not in that house. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had that experience. Was that the sole experience in that home, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then you were pretty young when that happened. Now I know you had a handful of things happen in New Zealand. Did anything happen from there to New Zealand?
No, nothing. So it was not that I remember, at least, or that I noticed, but yeah, completely quiet until about 20 years later.
And during that time period, did you begin to doubt yourself that anything even happened? Because for me, my experiences all happened when I was fairly young. And because I haven't had anything where I've seen something or heard something since then, it makes me question whether or not I even experienced what I experienced from a young age, even though in my mind, I put my hand through a ghost, which sounds so weird to say out loud sometimes. But did you have that same feeling, or were you always like, nope, I had that happen, it was real, on to the next thing?
Probably the same as you. I think doubt was always in my mind. And it wasn't really something I talked about with people, because obviously there's a lot of people they just pass it off as nothing. But in my mind, I kind of just left it as it did happen. It was unexplained. I don't know if it was a spirit. I don't know what it was, but that was a strange thing that happened.
Okay. And there, as far as you know, there was no major trauma in that home or in the central area?
No, my parents built that house, and so it wouldn't have even been too old, maybe 10 years, 15 years, but no, nothing. And we've never actually lost anyone in our, you know, close family, which is quite lucky. You know, all my grandparents are still alive, and yeah, we haven't really had any dealings with that yet.
Okay. And Evelyn, do you know, are spirits in Canada more trickster than other places?
Yeah, it's the default Canadian energy matrix.
They always apologize right after. Sorry. Okay. Well, that is really fascinating. So you had this big gap of time. So kind of, yeah, walk us through what you experienced in New Zealand.
Yep. So it was about 2015, me and my partner decided we wanted to rent a house, because usually in New Zealand, the rent is quite expensive. So we kind of went from renting like units with one bedroom and bathrooms, and we wanted something a bit bigger. So in order to do that, what most people do is you will be, say, the main tenant on a lease, and then you'll fill it with other people. You can pick who they are, and you all just divide the rent. So we rented a pretty nice large house. It wasn't too old. I think it was built in the 80s. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty positive it was the 80s. And soon enough, we had filled it up with people. And I guess for this story, I kind of have to explain the layout of the house. So our room was upstairs, and it was a very large bedroom with a large walk-in closet and an ensuite. So you could be in the ensuite bathroom, have the door open, but I could still have the bedroom door shut, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a really large room. And where the story started is I was upstairs one day, and I was in the bathroom doing my makeup because I had to go out. And the closet in the bedroom always kind of freaked me out. It's just really large and dark. So whenever I was in the room, I would always make sure that closet door was shut if I was alone. So I was in the bathroom, and I heard the door open. Now, at that time, I didn't know if it was the bedroom door or, you know, I just heard it open. And then that was immediately followed by footsteps on the carpet. And you know, that like compression of the fabric, you can like hear the sound of people walking. So instantly I thought it's my partner who had come into the bedroom. So I kind of stopped what I was doing, and I just said like, hey. And then immediately, you know, with no break, I heard his voice like clear as day, a couple, like maybe 1 meter away from me, because the bathroom is quite small. So he could have been on the other side of the wall. And he just said, hey, back. And then I said, what are you doing? And he said, nothing. But the funniest part about that is, so he likes to mimic my accent. And so it was his voice mimicking my accent. So saying nothing in a Canadian accent, the way he always does. And when I previously have described this, the tone of his voice is what kind of made me think it was a bit off was it, he kind of sounded like when a child's up to no good, like a really mischievous, like nothing, like that's how I would describe it. And so that kind of made me laugh. And then I said, like, no, seriously, what are you doing? And to that, I got no reply. It was just dead silence. So I opened the bathroom door because it was just ajar and he was not in the room. The bedroom door was shut, but the closet door was open. And okay. When I saw the closet door open, that just like sent chills down my spine. And so after that, I ran downstairs. He wasn't downstairs, ran outside. He was on the front lawn. And I asked him, you know, were you in the bedroom? And he said, no, wasn't up there. And when I told him, he's not, my partner is, I think he wants to believe, but he really needs facts. He's a very like factual person. So he instantly was like, oh no, like, you know, I'm sure it wasn't, you know, you didn't hear that. Like he just kind of brushed it off. And it didn't upset me because I know kind of that's how he is with those things, but I was so startled and I told everyone in the house and I'm not sure if anyone really believed me, but obviously that kind of changed because a couple more things happened after that.
So Evelyn, does that kind of solidify to you that it is some kind of trickster spirit?
Yeah. And I was just kind of trying to do like a little bit of a read on it without going like all the way in. I do think what I was trying to figure out is like, is this the exact same energy? Obviously it's manifesting the same way. So that makes me think, yes. So then I'm looking at like, okay, why did it follow you? It's obviously like a you thing and not like of the house or something like that. I'm kind of, and no one around you has ever had like similar experiences or anything that they can report that's like familiar. It's like only happening to you, right?
And then yeah, at that stage, it was only happening to me. But of course, the next part of the story is that it did happen to someone else in the house.
Okay. Yeah. So right now where I'm at in my process is I think that I have a theory that it might be connected to something that you have. Like something that has come with you. Cause it's like, I don't think it's you specifically. I just wonder if it's like an item, that you've had for a long time and that maybe has some sort of like shadow or memory attached to it that can pull energy. And then, yeah, I want to get in and like, kind of look at like why there's a big gap, like in its communication basically. So anyways, go on with your story. I'm super engrossed now.
Yeah. That would make sense though. I'm going to have to sit down and really think about what I have too, that I would have from when I was young. But so yeah, a couple of weeks kind of went on and there was another flatmate. I won't say his name for privacy, but he was home alone one day and he was in the kitchen and he had just made like this fresh cup of tea, obviously English, and was stood there with his cell phone in the kitchen, kind of just like staring at his phone, but stood still in between walking from the kitchen to the couch. And he said, out of nowhere, he heard this voice right behind his ear. He said it was so close and it was a whisper and it was me whispering hi and then his name in my accent. And it startled him so much that he ended up dropping the tea, spilled everywhere, dropped his phone as well into the puddle of tea and just jumped around trying to figure out where I was. So he was convinced it was a prank, looked all around the house. But when he realized I wasn't home, it actually startled him so much that he left and he ended up going to work like, you know, 3 hours ahead of schedule because he just didn't want to be there alone. And it just spooked him, he said, like to the core. So that was interesting that it happened to him because I think at that point there was no one else that had obviously the same experience as me. But again, the fact that it was like in my accent, you know, and trying almost mimicking me now, it's just, it kind of solidified my past experiences because I'm thinking, okay, like I'm not crazy. Someone else is hearing someone else talking, you know?
You know, we've heard stories that really run the gamut of supernatural experiences, from things that truly seem dangerous to things that seem more trickstery to heartwarming, all the above. But I got to say, this, I think, would scare me more than like my refrigerator door just opening right now and a jar of mayonnaise hitting the wall. Like something about hearing a voice in my ear. Like I also have like, what is it? Misophilia, where like somebody chomping on ice or something can make me want to commit crimes. I hate it so much. Yeah, that is super scary. So your friend, did he have any history with the supernatural, or was this his first experience?
No, and I remember him specifically in the house. Like there was a bunch of us, because before this, a couple of smaller things had happened. Like our TV would turn on in the middle of the night at full volume. And to get it to full volume, you had to, you know, like hold the remote for a while to get the volume up. It was like weird little things like that. There was another time when I was locked out of the house after I just stepped outside, all the doors locked. So we kind of had like, not jokes going around, but there was definitely talks about it being possibly haunted, but him specifically, he wasn't on board with that. He wasn't that kind of person. So I was kind of happy it happened to him, because it was happening to someone who really doubted it, you know? It kind of just made it even more real.
I am curious, and I know Evelyn has questions too, but I want to get her feedback on this, depending on your answer. Are you someone that would consider yourself intuitive? Because you said in both stories, you felt a darkness or something kind of scary coming from certain areas. And then it seemed like the hauntings kind of originated from those areas. Would you say that you're fairly intuitive in life?
That's actually really interesting, because I've never thought about it like that. But definitely when I look back, those were the two rooms that I probably found the creepiest of the houses. So yeah, that's maybe that, you know, is the case, but that's a really good point.
But I mean, do you feel like you're empathic? Do you easily take on others' emotions, or intuitive in the sense that you seem to have a nature or way of not necessarily predicting things, but just kind of knowing, oh, I don't feel safe here, or like getting feelings like that?
Yeah, I definitely think I've had a couple of situations in my life where I've, you know, had like bad feelings and it has led to bad things happening, or I kind of feel like I'm a sponge and I do absorb other people's emotions a lot. So if I'm with someone who's sad, like, you know, it does bring me down a lot.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So Evelyn, do you find that people in kind of Dylan's, who have, you know, are intuitive or empathic or these things, are they more likely to experience these types of things, or do you think these kind of things just happen to whoever they're going to happen to?
I think it depends on the intention of the energy. So if the energy is like wanting to be witnessed, and they're like, this specific energy is obviously loving the reaction, like they are absolutely playing tricks. They're wanting to get a rise out of people. So that's their goal. So they are going to go for people who they can do that to. However, I would say that when you're working with, something that can make like a physical sound and something that can impersonate in the way that it can, I would say that it's pretty powerful. And so I'm kind of like, that kind of energy could do that to anyone. Like that doesn't have to be, and that's like what you're saying, like with your friend who isn't necessarily someone who's like all on board the supernatural train, it can kind of get through to whoever it wants. So that's kind of what I think about that particular spirit. But in general, I think anyone can be sensitive to these kinds of things. It's just a matter of how much they're willing to entertain it. And certain energies definitely want to work with people who are more sensitive. Like that's why like a lot of people who are mediums, like energies know like, oh, this person can like see me, not just like know that I'm there, not just like have a feeling, but like this person can see me, so I can use that to communicate with them. Where a lot of people are just really, I don't know, kind of oblivious, I guess, to like when energies are trying to reach out to them.
For sure. Well, and how does someone know that it's safe or dangerous in that scenario?
That's where I really wish that everyone was more in tune with their intuition, because, you know, like, you know, Dylan, you know, that your closet was not the place to be. The bathroom was not the place to be. Like you had that information. And so when you believe yourself about those kinds of things, you usually are pretty good at sort of protecting yourself. If people had more tools, like for example, if you are moving into a new house and you're like, I have a weird feeling about this area, instead of just sort of like leaving it or avoiding it, it's like, okay, we need more information. Like, is this like some kind of like portal? Did something bad happen here? How can we shift the frequency or the vibration of that space so that it doesn't have that like yucky resonance, and instead can be, you know, neutral to pleasant. And so when we start, that's like when you have people come like do like a clearing in your house, usually that's the kind of thing they'll look for, is they'll kind of feel out like how the energy is moving, if it's getting stuck anywhere, if there's anything that like light energy isn't really touching, and they'll try to get more information about that in order to open it up.
And do you, because this is something I don't think I've ever asked you, but I've always been curious about, do you believe in like crystals making a difference in these situations? Like, is that a real thing, or is that kind of something people should stay away from?
So crystals are great. Like, there's nothing bad that can happen really with a crystal. I guess there are some exceptions to that. But
so
overall, yeah, I know. Well, I'm just thinking like there's some crystals that are really good at like their purpose is to absorb negative frequencies. And so, for example, if you were going to like then use that as a healing crystal with the intention of it like infusing you with something, that would probably not be the best way to use that. You would want to use those things for different purposes. So that's more of a use thing, I guess, and less of a crystal thing. Crystals are just like anything else in the world. They're a tool, right? And so what's kind of unique about them is that the way that they're built, they each kind of have these different like vibrational structures, but it's no different from how different trees and plants have their own vibration and energy. And you can work with those. I mean, you can literally work with anything. You can work with anything can be like a spiritual object, basically. So, and I talk about this in my kids book that I wrote, Isabel Brave, how you can actually use like your kids' stuffed animals as like a protector. Like that's kind of what they're doing anyways in a lot of situations, right? And it's because like they have infused the energy and intention into that item. And so that item is programmed basically to act as a protection field. And so that's kind of how the crystals work too. So it's not necessarily like, oh, you, crystals are like this super magical thing. It's more so like, what's the intention behind them? How are they being used? In my level one class that I teach, one of the exercises that we actually have people do, this is my level one intuitive development. And one of the things that we have people do is like a crystal communion, where you literally just choose a crystal, any crystal that you either have on hand or that speaks to you if you go to a store and buy one. And you spend time with it and you start asking it questions. And it's just a way that people can develop like their claircognizance or clairsentience. But asking questions like, you know, where did you come from? Like, how old are you? Like, how do you serve people? Is there anything I need to know about how to best work with you? And so that's really cool because you can get some cool information and then you can go like confirm that on the internet, you know? So if it's like, oh, like, you know, where are you from? Like, that's a pretty specific thing. And it'll be cool to be like, oh, okay, well, I can tell that this crystal is from somewhere really warm. I can tell that it's like definitely related to like being forged in heat. Like it has some sort of like volcano-esque attributes. And then you go and look up like whatever the crystal was and you're like, oh, I was right. Like, cool. And like, here's the ways that it serves people. And like, oh, that's right too. So we just use that as a way that people can confirm and develop their skills.
Always come in with the knowledge. So Dylan, is there anything that you can think of that you took from your childhood home to New Zealand with you that might bring some spirit action?
There would definitely be a lot of different small items. It would just have to be, I guess, a matter of me sitting down and writing them all out. Because I definitely did bring stuff that I've had my whole life. But yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to look into.
any like medieval swords or like little evil dolls or anything like that?
No, unfortunately not. That would make it probably a bit more obvious.
So well, one thing that you can do when you're like, if you are trying to like parse through and figure out like what item it is, you do already have a pretty keen sense of intuition. And there's a process called psychometry, which is when you're actually reading through your hands or through touching or handling an item. And you can probably just go through your stuff and like walk around and sense the energy either that's coming in through your hands, or how like your emotional body is feeling when you're reacting to holding different things. And you might just have a situation like that where just like with the closet and the bathroom where you say, I feel that this is the thing. And then if you are able to identify it, there are lots of options. Then you kind of get to choose your own adventure about like, what do you do with that information?
Right. I kind of hope it just reappears every 20 years, like something about every 20 years, the spirit comes back.
I was wondering that, like, I was like, okay, what's the deal with the gap? And there are certain things where like, depending on what the energy is, like maybe it has better access at certain times of, year, certain intervals, depending on how it's formed and what it is. So that could be something that's going on. It could also be like something as simple as whatever the item was like jostled around or like rearranged, and it kind of like wakes up basically. So that's something to kind of look out for too.
Yeah. Well, we've just moved obviously since then. So hopefully that doesn't happen here.
Your accent is so fascinating now that you've been, because I can hear both the Canadian and the New Zealand accent, which New Zealand is like one of the hardest ones for me to kind of suss out, as Evelyn would say, because it almost sounds Australian to me. I don't know if y'all feel the same way, but like, it's not anyway, just a side note. Derail the podcast.
I think you're the first person that's ever said that it doesn't sound just like a Canadian accent, but I've been here for almost, you know, a decade now, so it's probably changing a little bit without me knowing.
Yeah, one of my really good friends at the theater, she moved back to Canada, but I used to love getting her to say like trigger Canadian words like sorry and about and things like that. So I got really used to hearing a Canadian talk all the time, I feel like. But well, Dylan, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any questions for Evelyn? I mean, she's definitely somebody who has brought a lot of information to the table this episode. I know we kind of talked a lot about your experiences, but is there anything that you feel like hasn't been answered that you'd like to ask her?
Not so much a question, but maybe just her thoughts on another theory that someone did kind of mention on Reddit. I found it kind of interesting. They said that they once heard that obviously spirits like to speak to people to gain energy, and maybe they would choose to do it in an like a voice of someone that you knew, because obviously if you know that person, you're more likely to reply to the voice than if you heard like a stranger's voice in your house, and it's just an easier way for them to kind of pick up that energy.
It can be. I wouldn't necessarily say that you like the communication is what draws energy, but like the reaction regardless, right?
Right.
So yeah, even if you didn't say anything back, you had a reaction of like, whoa, oh, whoa, that was weird. And especially this energy is like obviously just like laughing like a little boy, just like
yeah.
So I don't know that it's like specifically like, I'm leeching energy to get more powerful. Like, and there are some dark entities that you'll see that kind of thing with, but usually that hits people more where it's like you're experiencing depression and lethargy and like really feeling like something is, you know, energy vampiring out of you, where this is so much more basically pointless and lighthearted. That's like, and there's a lot of cultures that have, like information about different like trickster energies that pertain to their cultures, whether it's like clown energies or like coyote spirits or a big like trickster energy. And so there's lots of interpretations of like the how and the why. And a lot of people would say that like there are ways that those energies can still serve you. Like they don't necessarily have to just be messing with you in a harmful way. It can also be like an invitation. even to like lightheartedness, depending on the what the intention of the spirit is.
Right. Perfect.
Well, Dylan, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you would like to plug or promote before we get you out of here?
No, just would like to say thanks for having me on, and I'm excited that I have a new podcast to listen to every week. So yeah.
Thank you so much. All righty. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Dylan.
Bye.
You too.
So Evelyn, you hear a story like that. Have you heard many stories where spirits, where there's such a gap in time between a visitation?
I usually see it. It's not unusual to see like, oh, there was an experience in childhood and then there's one later. Reason being that a lot of the vast majority, dare I say all children, are open to receiving psychic information. They're better at seeing ghosts. They're better at seeing spirits. They're better at interpreting energy. They're really very open. And so it's not unusual for them to have those kinds of experiences. And then as a defense mechanism, a lot of people put in energetic boundaries or systems that kind of protect or guard them from having those experiences anymore. Or sometimes their spirit guides will facilitate that. A lot of times what happens then is later in your life when you're more capable and like it's more along a timeline that makes sense, you can start opening up some of those. So really common in people who have like lifetime contracts to do intuitive work, where it's like, hey, remember this thing from your childhood? Well, it's back and you're ready to learn about it and deal with it. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if Dylan ends up like being like, this is really interesting. And I'm gonna learn how to talk to this ghost. And then she develops a whole new skill based on that. So that's one reason that I will tend to see a gap. And like I said, it could be like, oh, here's a thinning of the veil. That's why like a lot of people are like, oh, Halloween or like Dia de los Muertos or all of these times where the veil is basically naturally more thin and it's easier to make those kinds of contacts or have more substantial contacts. So that could be it too.
Like scale 0 to 10, how much do you love Halloween?
I love Halloween like a 10, but nothing to do with any of the supernatural part of it. I really like dressing up.
Yes.
In a huge way. I really like spooky Halloween decor. My poor son is 5 and my Halloween decor right now is not scary at all. I literally had a purple glitter skull on the mantle last year and he came downstairs and he was just like, Mom, I don't like that. That's really freaking me out. So I had to take down like anything that had a skull on it.
Yeah. Oh,
so I think it'll be a while before I can really like Halloween in the way that I want to.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that. Having a 1-year-old, I hadn't thought about their opinions coming into things. I guess it will in a big way.
It'll come up. Yeah. I mean, I don't, and with Halloween, and I think maybe it's because like, this is my job. This is what I do. I do energy readings. I do mediumship. So I don't really anymore feel like a kick up around, oh, like the veil is more thin or whatever. I'm like, I already have my system set up so that like I receive when I want to receive, I receive for the people that I want to. Generally, like ghosts aren't like knocking down my door or anything.
Sure.
So I'm really unimpacted in a way that I wasn't before.
Yeah, I love Halloween. I love any excuse to dress up in a costume. I went to Dragon Con not too long ago and it's just like a Comic-Con with more of an emphasis on partying and cosplay. And then at the theater, every show anybody pitches, I'm like, and can we have costumes for improv? And they're like, no. And I'm like, damn it. So whenever it's a show that I produce, always costumes. Like we had one called McCluskey and Sturgill, and it was like a buddy cop improv show. And somebody different would play McCluskey and Sturgill every show. And they would always dress up and it would always be influenced by, you know, some buddy cop thing or character in pop culture. And the audience always loved that. It's so much fun. Anyway, this is not here to plug a show that doesn't exist anymore. Just saying, I feel a kindred spirit in enjoying Halloween and spooky time stuff.
As like a veteran parent, I just plan the next like 4 years of your family Halloween costume while you still get some level of influence over your kids. Because like, oh man, our themed costumes were so cute. It was like, oh, I'm Wendy Darling and my daughter's Tinkerbell. And you know, we just had like, oh, okay, I'm Daenerys Targaryen and she's a little dragon. And it was so fun. And now I'm like, what do you want to be? And she's like, I want to be Star Butterfly and I want to be, you know, like this character or that character. And, you know, my son's like, I want this store-bought Sonic the Hedgehog costume. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. That seems like a real waste of my talents, but all right, I'll buy you this $40 polyester looks like garbage Sonic costume. A little part of me will die.
A little bit dies. Yep. Every Halloween. Oh man. What, like, are you a big, like back, I don't know if you do it now because I know you've got two young kids, but would you go to like Halloween parties and party it up, or do you enjoy more just like the homebody experience of that?
I feel like I never really knew someone who like had the big Halloween party, you know, otherwise I totally would have. And I didn't really have it in me to be the person that had that party. But we kind of got into a routine like where once I had kids, where it was like, okay, all the parent friends all love dressing up. We know we have to take our kids trick or treating. So we would do like, you know, kind of like early in the day, like costume hangs party, really like low key. And thank God for social media, because then at least you can post your cute costume on the internet and it feels like maybe you did something.
Yeah. And people saw it. Yeah. And you have fans on social media, so I'm sure they're always telling you how great your costumes look.
Oh gosh. Well, I've been so bad about posting on my TikTok. I'm like, oh, I should do a post about this. I should do a post about this. I literally haven't posted in like months. And I'm like,
but you're pretty active on like Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even that I'm like, and I went through a lull in my business a little bit where I took like basically the summer off and now it's like full force. I'm doing like 10 readings a week like getting ready to like launch a bunch more classes and stuff, which is great. But I'm like, oh my God, I should get back on this.
And if our fans want to find those classes, how can they get in contact with you?
Yeah. If you visit my website, themirrorgrid.com, I post a lot of my class information there. I also teach through One Illuminated, which is oneilluminated.com. And that is through my mentor, Reese San Augustine, who's a really amazing energy worker, medium, psychic. And so I teach my level 1, 2, and 3 through them. So definitely check them out as well if you want to enroll in anything. And if you want to book a session, yeah, just visit my website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for co-hosting this episode. I know everybody always enjoys when you come on. And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm Evelyn.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.